If you're tired of bad news, if you need some positivity, if you want to support small businesses, then welcome to Happy, Grateful, Blessed with Kaysville's own mayor, Tammy Tran. Here, you'll get to see the best of humanity from within Utah's hidden gem, Kaysville City. Every month, you'll discover small businesses, hear unique and incredible stories, and understand the difference you make in this wonderful city. If you haven't already, be sure to subscribe to this podcast so that you'll never miss a chance to find a new business to support and learn what makes a city like this one work as well as it does. So join us as we explore Happy, Grateful, Blessed with Tammy Tran.
Hi, everyone. This is Tammy. I'm here with Jan Williams. Jan, thanks so much for being here today. I really appreciate you.
Absolutely.
You are the founder and director of Hope Box Theater. Is that correct?
That is.
Okay. That's the correct title.
It is. Okay. It is the right title. Yes.
All right. Well, Hope Box Theater is a treasure for Kaysville. You've been here for 10 years.
Yes.
In Kaysville. It's right in my old neighborhood. We lived there for 17 years in that area and absolutely loved it. And so I just want to let people know a little bit more about Hope Box and get to know you better. And so thanks for being a guest.
Absolutely. I'm excited to be here.
Tell us a little bit about how you got started.
Oh, my goodness.
A little bit about your background.
Well, my background is I started with an academy called Showstoppers. And we started actually in Kaysville by the Barnes Park area is where we started. In the industrial, you know, warehouse areas.
We're
in the business part right there. And so I was teaching at an academy for youth, and we taught singing, dancing, acting. And I had actually originally started it in San Diego, California. And when I moved back here in 2008, decided to rub shoulders with my sister-in-laws, and we got together and created Showstoppers and grew our academy from, you know, started off with 25 kids up to 300 kids. And
really? That's an incredible growth.
It was. We had a lot of growth. It went really fast. And we actually ended up moving out of Kaysville and went to Layton. And then about, oh gosh, in 2014, I got cancer for that was actually my third time. And yeah,
I can't imagine. I'm shaking my head thinking, oh, three times.
Yeah, that
four
was
times,
third,
right?
Yes, actually four times, but that in 2014, it was the third time. I actually got cancer when I was 28 years old. I was actually pregnant with my second son and had stage 3 melanoma. And so I had to have surgery. And then it came back 2 years later. Well, it actually never left and had, you know, run into chemo. And so I was at, you know, age 30 with these two little boys in San Diego. And so that was I thought that was my end of my cancer journey was melanoma stage 3. And then in 2014, when I moved back here to Utah, and that's where I'm from, it was on New Year's Eve, New Year's Eve day night. Does that make sense?
It does.
Okay. And was just talking to my husband one night and had extreme pain just come instantly. And I was rushed to the hospital and they found out that I was stage 3 ovarian cancer, had a tumor inside my ovary, and it burst.
Oh, that's horrible.
Yeah, the size of a small grapefruit, and it burst. And that's when I was actually, you know, I was doing Showstoppers at the time, and they went straight into chemo and obviously surgery. And so I had to let go of Showstoppers because I was just too sick. So I stopped doing Showstoppers for a little bit. And that was kind of my passion. I love the performing arts. I love teaching kids. I loved what I did. And it was a hard time. Because I, you know, if you were to think, okay, this is my third time of cancer, you think it was the same cancer coming back, and it was just a whole new brand new cancer. And so during that treatment, I'd probably say I was 3 months in to chemo at the time, my body started like kind of not liking the chemo. I was basically, I felt like a shell of a person. You know, I was having a really, really hard time. And that's the night that my life changed was I was at my home. My sister-in-laws that were, you know, used to do Showstoppers with me, they were there, and I thought they just came to visit, and they just told me, they're like, hey, Jan, why don't you go get a little hat on or something? At that point,
really?
You know, I was bald from head to toe.
You?
Oh, yeah, completely.
Yeah,
I didn't even have
hair.
Nose hair. I mean, I was, when I say I was bald, there was nothing left. And I was not in good spirits, like I did said before. And they told me to go get a hat on. And I just remember thinking, why? Why does it even matter? Everyone knows what I look like. I mean, this is what it is. And
oh, I can't even imagine. I bet you were so
it was just a dark time. And I did as they were told. I thought, okay, someone's going to bring me some food that I probably can't eat, you know, because I didn't like anything anyhow. And sure enough, I had a knock on the door and I go to answer the door. And I had about 20 to 25 students of mine on my doorstep, and they started to sing. And my first reaction was, I just heard and closed the door. I stayed inside the house, I closed the door, and, you know, and because I wasn't expecting it, because I hadn't seen my students for a long time. And it was kind of overwhelming. And then I reopened the door, and they just started singing songs from my favorite musicals, from Wicked, from
incredible.
It was more than incredible. Here I was. If you would have asked me how I was feeling right before that door opened, I would have just been, nothing good would have came out of my mouth, mm-hmm. and I felt pretty hopeless. And I wasn't done with my treatments. I had more, but they were stopping them. They were like, you know, because they were like, your body can't, you know, do it. And I was just like, no, I'm going to do them. You know, you're going to let me do them. And and so when they came and they started singing, something happened inside me. And I guess it was cold outside. I didn't realize it was cold outside because I felt completely warm. I did not have a coat on and they were worried about me. But I was so overwhelmed, and they have a video of it, and you could hear me in the background, and I'm sobbing, you know, because I'm so overwhelmed by it. Because it just filled my soul. It brought me so much light and so much joy, and I just wanted to sing with them. I was so moved that they would think of me, that they would take the time to do this. And that when it was all said and done, they, you know, I can't remember how many songs they sang. That night I was in bed and I just could not sleep. I was still on this high.
Oh, that's incredible.
You know, this feeling, you know, and I had this little notebook by my bedside table, and I grabbed it because I just had all these thoughts coming, and it was like, oh gosh, what am I feeling? I'm feeling, you know, joy. I'm feeling, I'm feeling light. I'm feeling, and all of a sudden, hope. Yeah. Hope. And I'm like, how can I have others feel this way? Because it is so hard. The treatments, it's just not the treatments. It's how you feel as a human being. You don't feel like yourself. You lose a part of yourself. Every time you have a chemo treatment, it takes a little bite out of you.
A little bit of your life.
Just a little bit. Yeah. And I felt empty, and it was all of a sudden I felt full. And so I just started writing, and I remember theater, and I was like, okay, you know, gosh, you know, if I had just had a small box theater, all those black box theaters, and I'm like, hope box.
Oh, that's incredible.
And I wrote down hope box theater, and I'm like, okay, what does this mean? And I'm like, I need to be able to give this to somebody. I need them to feel what I'm feeling. They need, and it's the joy that you get from listening to these wonderful songs, and so I just started writing down, okay, we'll put on a show for them. We'll let them come and, you know, come to the show on us so they don't have to worry about it. Come, you know, get away from their treatments, get away from, you know, all those stresses.
Oh, okay.
And, but wait, there needs to be more than that. You know, I mean, at that time I had quite a few bills.
I bet.
Needless to say, it was my third time with cancer. I think I was still paying off the first two times of cancer. So now, you know, I'm paying off the third, and I just thought, okay, we ought to raise money. You know, we're not doing a 5K run. Or, you know, we're not putting on this one big event, but we can put on a show for them. We can get funds. People can donate. So I was just writing all these things down. And it was like a light switch had turned on, and I was back. I was back.
Absolutely.
Even
cool.
though I didn't know I was, I mean, I still had treatments left. Uh-huh. I didn't know if I was, clear of cancer. Matter of fact, my husband and I had many times, we call it the come to Jesus talk,
mm-hmm.
where basically it's like, you know, yes, you could die. That is the reality. You know, you could die. And what does that mean? And so we've had those talks, and I didn't know where I was going to be at, but it gave me something to look forward to. I was like, okay, I want to do this.
He gave you a plan.
Yeah, it gave me a purpose.
A purpose.
And so, and in that time frame, I started thinking of conversations that would come to me. And one of the conversations was a mother of one of my students. Before I closed the doors, I remember in the parking lot, as everyone was leaving and I was shutting down, and she said to me, "Jan, if you ever think about opening up a theater, my husband has always kind of wanted to do something like that." I remembered that simple, just
really
little line. And I thought, you know what? I'm going to call him up.
And ask him if he's serious.
And I called him up and I was like, you know, this is who I am. I may have seen him, but I didn't know him. I knew, you know, the mom better. And this was Sally Dalton and her husband was Curtis Dalton. And Curtis Dalton is the one that I called, and I said, "Hey, you know, I'm thinking of doing this, and I may have a building. I don't know." And the reason why I say I may have a building, because a year prior to that phone call, I was thinking about opening it up. I would want our own space for Showstoppers, and I had passed by that church. I think Elevation Church owned it at the time, and it was up for sale or rent. I can't remember, sell or rent. Anyhow, and I at the time I was like, "Oh, that's great." And then I got cancer, so I was like, "Well, that wasn't supposed to be." So I thought, you know what? I'm just gonna go drive by. I'm just, you know, maybe by some miracle it's still there. And I drove by. Sure enough, there was the sign, and I call it, and they're like, "Yeah, it's up for sale." So I'm like, "There is this building. I think it's a church. Let's go take a look at it." And the moment we walked in, I was like, "This is the place."
Really?
And it's so crazy. Why would even think that? Because, I mean, it does not look like the place that we have today.
Right. You guys have drastically improved.
We have drastically improved it. We have made so many renovations to that building. But I just had a good feeling about it. I'm like, "This is where we need to be." And so I sat down with him in my office at my home. And I was talking about, you know, this idea, and you know, he was kind of, I knew he was kind of in, you know, he was kind of selling off on it, but I felt this reservation, you know, from him, and I could tell he was kind of wanting to say something, but he didn't know the right words. And I finally just stopped him. I said, "Curtis, I'm like, you're afraid that I'm gonna die."
Oh.
And he was like, "Well, yeah, like what happens if, you know,
shit,
like
you're my partner and now you're
right,
gone.
You know, what happens if you pass away, you know?" And I said, "Listen, either one of us could leave this meeting right now, get hit by a car."
That's true.
I mean, we don't know our time on, you know, on this earth. So let's just do it. Let's just go for it. And if it sticks, it sticks. And if it doesn't, you know what? Oh, well, we tried. And he's like, "Okay, let's do it." And so he had enough faith in me, even though I was bald from head to toe and didn't know if I was,
you know, still in the middle of your treatments?
Still in the middle of my treatments. Didn't know what was going to happen. I did end up doing more treatments. My body started to calm down a little bit. And so I was able to finish a little bit off schedule, but I was able to finish, and I did get the clear. And so we opened in September of 2014. I mean, I literally had gotten done in the end of June, and we opened up in September. I know, it's crazy.
That is an incredible schedule.
Yeah. And it just gave me life. It was like, okay, I can do this. And then we opened up the Hope Box in 2015, in the February of 2015. And so we're right there on the cusp, and we started with, we just asked some of my students to come back. We started with them first. And then we open up the nonprofit, and the rest is history. We've just been going strong ever since.
It's an incredible, incredible story. My husband and I bought our first house in that neighborhood.
Okay.
And that was more than 34, 33 years ago.
Yeah.
And so we lived there for 17 years. And when we first lived there, it was a nursery, that building.
I know it.
Was a nursery.
Still had burlap sacks hanging from the ceiling when we got
really?
It. Yes, it did.
So then it was vacant, and we really thought about buying it and making it a daycare.
Right.
We thought it's in the middle of the neighborhood. It would be a great location.
Right.
And then quickly talked ourselves out of that one. And then it was vacant for a while. And then the church bought it.
Right.
And it made it look so much better, and it was great. And then when you guys bought it, I remember driving by thinking, what is going on over there? What is that?
Yes.
And just seeing it and seeing advertisements. And so I was super excited to talk to you about it because admittedly, we aren't very, we don't get out very often and participate in theatrical type events. I have a, which is weird because I have a secret wish to write a musical.
Oh my
goodness. Before I die, I want to write.
Do that.
Yes. That is on my bucket list to write a musical. I've got this idea and all this stuff in my head, but I think, okay, someday when I have time. But absolutely love theater. Yeah. And it's such a wonderful amenity, a wonderful thing to have in Kaysville.
You know what? It really is.
So many people don't know about you. I mean, a lot of people do. I drive by in cars everywhere and it's very busy.
Yes.
But we want to talk more about it. Your story is incredible.
Well, thank you.
I was getting these really great chills when you were telling me about it. I can't believe 4-time cancer survivor.
Yeah. So that was my third time.
That was your third time. Okay.
That was my third time. And then I ended up about, let's see, 2017.
So we had been
in the building for about 2 years, and I was taking a group of my students because we had the community theater side, and then we also still had our academy, and I was taking them to Disneyland and to perform, and I started not feeling good, and I knew something was up. I just had that feeling, you know. I just knew that there was something going on, and sure enough. Basically, while I was there, I was struggling, and I got home and I said, okay, I need a colonoscopy.
Shoot.
And sure enough, I ended up with stage 3 colon cancer as well.
Jan, I can't believe it. That doesn't seem, that's just not fair.
And the thing is, they're not related. They did a whole genetic panel.
It didn't start with melanoma and just spread?
No.
Oh,
so the only time, melanoma only spread once and it's been at bay ever since. But then, an ovarian and then the colon, they're two separate things. Matter of fact, they think I probably had colon cancer while
before?
I had ovarian cancer, but the chemo didn't kill the colon. That's probably what happened because... I had a tumor inside my colon. So I had 8 inches of my colon taken out and straight into chemo again. And so, but this time I was a little different. Instead of letting go, this chemo was hard. I'll be honest. It was a FOLFOX where you take it home. So you go to chemo, for about, maybe 8 hours. And then you would have a little fanny pack and they would send you home with chemo still, into your port.
Pumping into your body.
And you'd have that for another 48 hours. So you'd take this home and you'd sleep with it and you would have it, going for another 48 hours. And this treatment was, it was hard. But I noticed something. I would go to chemo and when I went on Thursdays, I would leave the Huntsman and I would still be wearing my little fanny pack and I would come and we were doing Footloose at the time and I would come and I would direct and then the moment I would leave the building, I would get sick.
Really?
To the point where my husband had to come and pick me up. I couldn't even drive.
But you were okay directing.
But I was okay to be there.
And...
Right. I was okay to be there while I was there. I mean, it was, and they just kind of got used to me having my little, fanny pack on and doing it. But the moment I stepped out of that building, I would instantly get sick.
Aww.
But it made me start to think, okay, I'm going to have chemo on Thursdays then because I'm able to do something still while I'm here. And I was able to direct that whole show, even though I was going through chemo.
Incredible.
And it was a great experience. I still have very fond memories of that show. But I wanted to share with you is, when we talked about, kind of the vision and what we do is we pick one person from our community. We have nominations that come in from the cast, from the production teams, from anyone outside or in our, our area. And they nominate people that are battling cancer. And then our board, we vote anonymously. So we don't know who's voting for who. We anonymously vote for someone that we feel is deserving and in need of to become our Wall of Hope recipient. That's what they're called, is our Wall of Hope recipient for that particular show. And so everything we do for, that show, we try to incorporate that person in. So we get to know them. They come and do a meet and greet with the cast. We get to know like their favorite foods, their favorite, activities,
That's
different
really
things. We try to really, and then we try to incorporate them into our show. Like maybe their favorite color. Maybe we do the set design in that color, or we have a sign with their name on it, or some kind of prop that has like maybe a newspaper and we have an article about them, or their picture may show up on stage.
Oh, I love it.
We try to do anything
to
personalize it and to personalize it for the cast as well. And we also make up a cheer for them. So every time we are at rehearsal, we say that cheer when we're leaving or we're starting, to get them in our forefront of our minds as we're putting this on. So that becomes a little bit more personal. It's not necessarily about the actors as much as it is putting on for this person. And we realize that, yes, we have maybe one person picked for that show, but that person, when you're dealing with cancer, it affects more than just one person. It's the daughters, it's the sons, it's the husband, it's the wife, it's the parents, it's this, you know, sister-in-laws. They're neighbors. And so we've tried to really be, conscious of how the impact of cancer affects like the community. And so we raise funds, we invite them, we give them free tickets for their whole family, as many as they want, basically, for our closing night. They come free for them, and we shower them with gifts. They are basically, we pull out the red carpet, basically, for them.
That's really incredible.
And we give them, the cast and the production teams and our board, we give them different gifts. And they can be random, from anything from a blanket from Minky to a massage from Massage Envy to something personalized from their set. I mean, maybe there's a certain prop or whatever, and they're giving these gifts on closing night, as well as a big check, because we actually do fundraise.
Oh, you fundraise?
We
for them
fundraise
as well.
every performance. So we talk to our audience and basically say, this is our mission, to bring hope to families battling cancer through the performing arts. And this is how we do it. We've picked this person, and please read their story. We have a big wall in our foyer about them. It has their picture, it has a video of them, and their story, their cancer journey. And then we fundraise. And so we take donations through Venmo at our concession stands. We have a big silver hope box that we take donations in. It could be cash, it could be, checks, it could be anything. And all of the donations that come in during the whole run of that show are given to that family on closing night.
Really?
And so
that's incredible.
So we give a lot of money away, every show that we do, and we are nonprofit. And so it's incredible, because a lot of the time on closing night, we're all reminded why we're doing this,
that's
why
really
we're working so hard. We'll have, oh my goodness, they'll come, and we'll have the mother will come up to me and say, you have no idea how this has touched our family. You have no, how much we needed this. We will have some Wall of Hope recipients that will basically be told that, they should have their family come and say goodbye. And yet they'll be like, no, I've got to make it to closing night. And we've had some that have literally had their families come say goodbye to them, and they're still alive today.
Incredible. That's hope.
It's hope. It gives them something to look
forward to. The power of intention, the power of belief.
Right. And a community and audiences that don't know this person. Mm-hmm. Most of the people that are donating don't even know them, but they read their story, they get inspired, and they want to help. They don't have to, like I said, they don't have to go run a 5K to support. They're right there. They can, donate right then. And it's really wonderful to see how generous people are. Without having a connection with that person.
Just being touched by their story.
Just
and
being touched.
And learning about their lives while they're there.
Right. And a lot of people, come to our theater because of our mission. We have, actors and production crews that my mom, my sister, my dad, they've been battling cancer. They passed away from cancer. I want to give back. I want to do something. And so this is their way, And when I was a kid, cancer, was kind of one of those things where it was like, I heard about it from someone, that was
distantly,
right?
Exactly.
Now it's like, it's my sister.
It's true.
It's my brother. It's my mom. It's my dad. It's not, cancer affects so many people. And we have, a lot that will come and be in our audience that we know are struggling with that. Mm-hmm. And so we really try to let them know that, this production is not just for the Wall of Hope recipient, but it's for anyone mm-hmm. who is struggling, and it provides such hope for so many people. And then they get to see how it, how it affects that family on closing night. There's nothing more special than that, And then to give them money on top of that is just, that's just the icing on the cake. Really, the main part is that they have this whole cast that has rallied around this person. you know, and said, I mean, we've had cast members that go and sit with people at chemo.
Oh, really?
Oh, absolutely. We've had it where they've gone to hospice and we will go to their home and sing with them to their home.
Oh, I love it.
I mean, there's, so it's not just at the theater, but it's extended outside of that. And we've had past Well of Hope recipients that come back and volunteer and usher and do concessions or get involved in the show. We had one director that actually surprised our Well of Hope recipient on closing night. He had contacted his two kids that were in college, got them to come down, get into a rehearsal, and then during intermission, they went backstage, got in costume, and then came out on the first number of the next act. And, you know, the Wall of Hope recipient didn't even know that their kids were going to even be in the show, and they were in the first number.
I
mean,
cool.
It's like we try to come up with all different kinds of ideas to help them, you know, feel a part of it. And now we've also, besides our productions that we do, our academy has also, they also pick someone. So we'll pick a child for our junior academy, and then we'll pick a teenager for our, we call it our senior academy. So basically it's our high school and junior high kids. So we also do kids. So we do adults, kids that are battling cancer. And now we have a Hope Box choir. And now our choir
also has
a, you know, a Wall of Hope recipient. And what's even cooler than that is during Christmas, we always invite all the families back for another free show on us for Christmas time. And they come on our, it's called our preview night. We invite them to come. And then we pick a angel Wall of Hope recipient. This is someone who's already passed.
Oh, okay.
And we pick someone who's passed and they still get to share their story. They get to honor them. And they also get to put their name on our Wall of Hope, basically. In our foyer, we have names that are just circling our foyer, the names that the families that we've helped. And we have helped about 75 families now.
Over 10 years.
Yes.
That is outstanding.
Isn't that amazing?
Gosh, just hearing your story and your reasons for creating Hope Box, I didn't know the backstory.
Yeah.
It just makes it so exciting for me personally, and just wanting to, now I want to get to know, and I want to start going to theaters and or to the shows and everything that I can to support. That is really neat.
Well, it's something that I could do because
out of your depths of despair,
right?
You created this.
And I have an understanding that some people don't. I mean, I understand the mental, I would say spiritual, physical, obviously, struggles that come with it. And then there's, oh my goodness, then there's the guilt. And there's, I mean, you know, if you're a mom or... Mm-hmm. There's so
the financial
many,
burden.
There's the financial right, burdens. So there's so many facets to it, but the power that comes from the performing arts is incredible. It really is powerful. And, you know, that is something that you cannot, you can't put a cage around it, meaning it is going to affect someone whether you like it or not in one way or another. We have past Wall of Hope recipients that will come and they're like, gosh, it feels like I'm there for my night.
Really?
You know, because I'm filled with that same joy, that same hope. And I'm like, it is the power of the performing arts. I'm telling you,
it is.
There's something just super powerful about it.
It's uplifting.
It is. It's uplifting. And if anything, I mean, you know, we are not a health center theater. I always say, you know, we are a small little theater, but we are doing great things in our community. And the great things that we are doing is we are helping each other, you know,
lifting
through a dark time, you know. And so that's why it's so powerful. And that's why I want people to come, because we do have great shows. We have wonderful shows. We get a lot of great talent. But there's more than that.
Right. You have a mission beyond that.
We have a mission, and not many. Well, I don't know of any other theater that has a mission like ours. That we literally give back. And so because we give back so much, though, we are always in need.
Right, you need some funds.
We're always in need of funds, you know, because we do give, you know, a portion of our ticket sales have gone to our Wall of Hope recipient. All the donations that come in usually go to our Wall of Hope recipient. So it's amazing that we haven't ever been in the red, you know.
Really?
I mean, it's really amazing. But I think that it's because of our mission. I think that's what's the driving force. And now we are to a point where we're growing, and you know, we just built new bathrooms, we just built new rehearsal hall that's on the side of our building, and we desperately need a new parking lot because,
yes,
like you said, there's always cars.
There are so many cars because
there
people are
so
attending.
Many cars.
and love it so much. So you're going to build a parking lot.
So that's the next thing, is we're trying to raise funds to build this parking lot. And we really need to do it this summer, because it's a need. It's not a want anymore.
It's a need.
It's about a literal need.
How much does it cost for a parking lot? I'm just
curious. My goodness. I think a lot more than people think. I think it's around $60,000.
Is it just to put pavement in?
Yep, just to put some pavement in.
It's incredible how much things cost.
Everything costs, you know, and just with all the inflation. But that is what we're, driving for right now, is to try to get the parking lot, because that is a need. Our goal is to, we would love to, expand one day. Our theater only holds about 140 people, and we would love to expand. We want to keep small. We want to keep that intimacy there's something special about it. When I go to these bigger theaters, they're beautiful, big, beautiful productions. Let's make sure they get the kudos for that.
Right.
They're big and beautiful, but there's something special about intimacy. And because I think the audience, you get pulled in to the show. You get, I always tell my actors, listen, you can't hide behind a good set. I mean, you have to be super vulnerable you are front and center, and people can see a tear. People can see, everything from being that intimacy. And I think that's also what makes us endearing, is our intimate feel that we have. And so I don't necessarily want to take away from that, but I would love to have, a lot of the things that we need to make our productions, better. And that's what we would love to expand as well.
Yes, for sure. I can understand how that would be a definite plan.
Well, because they're a win-win, right? We have to put on great productions in order to raise money and to be able to. So they are their hand in hand. Our mission and our productions go hand in hand. One without the other, it won't work.
Where do most of your actors come from? Are they local?
Oh, my goodness. All over.
Really? Okay.
All over. We have them coming from Magna to Logan.
Really?
It's crazy what people will drive, to come and be a part of our production. Obviously in our area, we share the same actors that, Centerpoint and Hale and Zig and Terrace and, and Opa, all of the ones that are right local here. We share the same actors.
Great.
But there's a big community for us, and we love it. We want to stay. We tell the families, as long as we're here, their family member is there. And that's comforting to them.
It really is.
To come into the building and see their loved one on the wall, and they're not forgotten. That means a lot.
You know what? That is the biggest, I think you nailed it, not being not forgotten, being remembered.
Being remembered.
That is the biggest fear for people.
It is.
As they face those types of situations where they could possibly die.
Absolutely.
And then they do, maybe.
Oh, yes.
It's just, we don't want to forget.
We don't want to forget them. And we call them, they won their battle, is what we say. Mm-hmm. I mean, we have on our plaques, we do recognize those who have passed. We put a little angel sticker that goes on their plaque when they passed. Because we think that's important as well. The realness of cancer is that it does take lives.
It does.
But it is comforting to look around, and you do remember. I can look at a name and I'll be like, oh my gosh, yes. And then we'll have people come in and go, oh my, I know that person.
Really?
They didn't even realize, oh, that's where they had that done. For those who come for the first time, they'll be looking at the names and they'll realize that they know some of the people on our wall. And that's kind of special as well, because they also get to see the impact that we've had on people. And it's pretty awesome.
I hope for anyone who's listening, I hope they share this episode, because it's really neat to be able to take your depths of despair and turn it into hope. Well, have it turned into hope for you.
Right.
By reconnecting with your students and having them show up. It's just such a small act of kindness, but it's changed the whole future of your life. And
it
what
really
you've been
has.
Able to do to help at least 75 people,
if
not hundreds and hundreds of people, like you said, as it trickles through and ripples
right.
through.
Right. Well, because, those are our Wall of Hope recipients,
but
forget about the people who nominated them.
Exactly.
Or the production team, that was their family.
And the opportunities you give for your actors and for your cast members and for people to be able to be part of something.
Yes.
And to be able to get
something a little bit bigger than themselves.
Exactly. I think that's what we're so missing in the world. I was talking to my daughter yesterday and she was saying, you know, I wonder what my generation is going to have to go through in terms of hard.
Right.
And I said, I think it's going to be the emotional and the mental.
Yep.
Challenges.
Absolutely.
Because we look around and even though we're surrounded by people and things and technology, people feel so isolated. And so right. It's an opportunity for people to feel part of something at Hobox Theater.
Absolutely. And you know, being in a production as well, there you learn, you get to gain a whole new family. I think a lot of people do theater for that reason, for the connection. And but to add that other part that, okay, now I'm serving someone. I'm actually doing this for someone besides myself. I think that does help a lot of people in their own struggle too. I know that for me it does, because it's hard. Any business, if you're a business for sure. owner, you know how hard it is. It is really hard.
It is.
And you know, we had to stick through COVID, which was a really hard feat, and we did. Even though we had to shut down for a little bit, you know, we made it through. But it really does help keep our focus. To where it needs to be, because we get those closing nights, we do get those times that we get reminded of why we are working so hard to keep this up and running, because we have our struggles just like anybody else.
Constantly fundraising would be really challenging.
Constantly fundraising, constantly trying to grow. I mean, there's, you know, with growth, there's always challenges. Trying to think of new ideas, trying to think of how do we make this space work. Because we fill that space, you know, every niche and cranny, you know, we have filled it. But it is a special place. And I think that when people come in, they realize it right off the bat.
They'll feel that.
How
will people be able to support you as an organization? So how can we donate and how can we be supportive?
Absolutely. Well, there's many ways. One, get involved.
Okay.
You know, become a volunteer. That's a great way to get involved, is just become a volunteer. You can help out in so many ways, whether it's on a production team, whether it's, like I said, volunteering with ushering or okay. concessions or cleanup or, you know, anything. Volunteering is a great way for people that want to just get in, you know, do something. The next one is donate. You know, you can donate just to the theater as well, so that we can get, you know, help us with the rights and royalties and help our productions get better and better. You know, we are fundraising right now for our parking lot. You can donate, you know, to that cause as well.
Okay.
Another one is come see the shows, you know, come see the shows, come support us. And the more people that we have in the audience, the more funds that come in to our Wall of Hope recipient. It has been fun to see, you know, where we start out, you know, what we gave the first, you know, our first person to what we're giving
to what
now.
You're giving now.
Oh, absolutely. I mean, to say it's quadrupled, it's probably 10 times,
That's
you know, what we started with, but we had to start somewhere. And we would love to see that number continue to grow. And the only way it'll continue to grow is the more shows we do, the more audience members that we come, you know, then we can fundraise more for that person. So come see a show, support us in that way. Tell your friends, your family, and they'll say, you know what, if you're going to go see a show, come see this one, because
stay local.
They have, you know, they have a wonderful mission. And then there's, you know, there's ways we are always looking for those who would like to be, an ambassador for us, you know, to help spread the word, as well as, you know, be a part of the board. If you're, you know, if you're interested in rolling up your sleeves and getting, you know, a little bit more involved, there's board opportunities. There are always opportunities to get involved if you just come and reach out.
Okay. That's really good to know for people, because honestly, I think that people do drive by and still don't really know sometimes.
Right.
I've had people ask me if it's a church and like, no, it's not a church anymore. It's a theater. But even though it says Hobox Theater on the sign,
but that's another thing we need a new sign. I mean, there's always something that we are in need of. You know, we want our community. We want to, you know, start rubbing shoulders with our community a lot more with Kaysville City. So that's why I'm so excited that you asked me to come and do this, because, you know, we are Kaysville.
You are, for sure. And you represent Kaysville. And this is what we love. We love the hometown feel of a local theater.
Yes.
And so
every city needs one, really.
Absolutely.
Every city needs one. And we
closer.
Feel like we are a Kaysville City, you know, theater. And so we'd love, you know, the businesses to, you know, to get more involved, you know, with sponsorships and donations as well. That's something that we're trying to build relationships with different businesses in our community as well. Because they're, I mean, basically, it's, you know, like I said, it's a win-win situation. We help, you know, we would love to help in any way that we can. And if they could help us, you know, same thing. We have a ton of people that come through our building constantly. They're, I mean, on just a daily basis with our academy, you know, our kid academy. And then we go right into our community theater, you know, side. We probably have hundreds that come through our building every day. And so it's definitely something that could be a win-win for, you know, both businesses.
Are you open all day, every day then?
We are. The only day that we're basically not there is Sunday. But, okay. Well, I take that back. We actually do have, our choir does rehearse on Sunday evenings. So we are there on Sunday too. Okay. So we've decided to do that because we were just so full. We didn't have another space for the choir. So they meet on a Sunday evening, but it's beautiful music, and that's kind of how they decide to spend their time as a family and spend their time producing wonderful music. So
that's really good to know. My husband loves to sing.
Yes.
And never tried out for the Tabernacle Choir or anything
there,
like that.
Yes.
But loves to sing. I didn't realize you had a choir.
We do. And they just had their concert on Monday, just yesterday, and went to that. And it's beautiful. And that's have another one. They'll have a summer concert. And it's only, they do it in, I think it's only 8 rehearsals. I could be wrong. Becca Rhodes, she is the choir director at Farmington High School. And she is the choir director for our Hope Box Choir.
Right.
And so our idea for the Hope Box Choir is that we would love eventually for them to, you know, travel and you know, spread the word, you know, kind of be ambassadors of the Hope Box as well. They have a good group, but they're always looking for new members. And it's nice because we kind of capture them, like the ones who, you know, they're maybe not actors, they're not, you know, maybe not into that scene. They don't want to spend that much time on a show because, you know, the rehearsal process for a show is about 2 to 3 months, where the choir is only basically a little over a month.
But they still perform.
And they only rehearse
group.
One day a week, where, perfect. You know, with a show, you're Monday through Thursday and then Saturdays. And so it's a lot more time commitment. So they could do the choir and still give back and still be a part of it, but only have to come once a week. But still put on a concert and still be able to be involved in the Wall of Hope program as well.
That's outstanding. You've thought of everything and you've been able to have something for everyone, it seems like.
Well, that's what we're trying to do.
Such a great well thought plan.
Because the performing arts can be a lot of different things. Matter of fact, our next show that's coming up, well, we're doing 7 Brides, but I'll be directing Oliver, and we are actually putting a live band on stage. So this will be our first time that we'll be having a live band. And so we brought in some musicians, and they're incredible musicians. And so that's going to be an exciting thing as well. So we have auditions for Oliver coming up next week, actually. So those who want to be involved in a new experience of having live music instead of, you know, pre-recorded, that's what we're going to do for Oliver. So that's going to be an exciting time too. So.
I love your story.
Thank you so much.
And what you created. This is so outstanding.
Thank you. It's a dream come true. It truly is.
Well, and I can just feel your excitement and your passion for it as you're talking. And it's making me excited. And I want to learn more about it. And so I'm so, so glad that we've had the opportunity. Thank you.
You're welcome. I'm so glad to be here. I want everyone to know about it. I just think it's an amazing place.
Hopeful and uplifting and an opportunity for people.
Right.
Sure.
Absolutely. Thank you so much.
Thank you. To all my podcast listeners, thank you for listening. I really appreciate your feedback and your support. Please leave comments and please leave suggestions for future guests. And most importantly, subscribe. Thank you.